Welcome back to another episode of the Big Ass Cornhole Podcast. Your favorite Cornhole brothers are back to entertain you all. Dane, what's going on, man?
Not too much. Just living the life.
Dude, this is a pretty crazy weekend of Cornhole.
Dude, awesome weekend of Cornhole.
Absolutely. But before we get into that, let's not break tradition. And let's start with the segment we call, What You Drinking?
What you drinking?
Well, revisiting one of our favorite breweries ever, Southern Tier, out of Lakewood, New York. This is part of their Shake Shop series, but I'm drinking the Orange Creamsicle Milkshake IPA. And holy crap, it is smooth, it is orangey, and it's strong. It's an 8% beer. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, it's dreamy. Yeah.
It's a great summer beer.
It is. Well, so Dane, thank you
Southern
for that.
Tier Brewing. Oh, hey, anytime. You know, I just provide the alcohol.
All right. We have yet another great episode planned for you all today. We're going to break down this past week's ACL Cornhole action, and we're going to touch on some topics that came to light over that weekend. We're going to also be reviewing some bags. We love reviewing bags. We have actually several sets of bags that are up on the list today. We don't have a guest, so guess what? You're stuck with just us.
We're just going to rock some bags.
It's going to be awesome. So we have Cooper bags. We have three series from Cooper bags: Express, SOB3, and then the Bandit. And then we're also going to be reviewing a set of bags called the War Chiefs, which I'm excited about all of them. So,
dude, all of them were sweet, man.
Yeah, it was. I had fun throwing all of them, so I'm excited to do the review. But before we jump in, let's update everyone on what's been going on in our cornhole lives in a segment we call In and Around the Hole. Brought to you by Airwolf Athletics. Look like a beast and play like an alpha by checking out airwolfathletics.com, offering a wide variety of products such as hats, shirts, and cornhole bags. Snag yourself a set and join the pack today. And use code BIGASP at checkout for 10% off your purchase. The hat seemed to be working for Jamie Graham this past weekend.
I would say the least.
Yeah, so maybe that's where he gets his cornhole superpowers, is from the Airwolf Athletic hat.
Yeah, we just need to make sure we don't give Jamie a big ass hat, because then he'll just start shitting the bed.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so speaking of Jamie Graham, dude, he solidified his number one world ranking this weekend.
Go to the ACL, hands down, man.
Dude, like, I mean, He won the world championship with singles, won the Man of the Year contest in singles. Oh, and his conference, the Carolina Conference, took home first place as well. Jesus, is he consistent? I mean, my God.
And then they make it to the stage on Man of the Year, too, him and Frank.
Oh, you mean a doubles? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, he was just there all weekend. So the juice is crazy consistent. It just seems like he never – I mean, you might catch him around getting a nine.
But you know what? He is so good at just brushing it off and going right back to work. Yep. Like, he is a tenacious competitor, and he's fun to watch, man.
Absolutely. Well, before we jump fully into the ACL, I just thought that was a little segue. We had the Ghost Cornhole League again. We won both games this week, which was nice. You had a nice week.
The first game was a little rough. The second game was awesome until the fifth round.
Dude, you did enough in the first game just to get us by. The second game, I caught like the fourth frame, and you were sitting at 41, 42.
42, yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, dude, like, he's throwing lights out. And then what did you end up with?
I ended up with 46. I put four bags on the board, not one in.
Sorry.
But you know what, dude, I mean, going back to watch that, all of a sudden my bags turned into glue. I don't know what the hell happened. I couldn't get them to slide.
I can't say anything, because that was exactly what happened to me. So I was throwing my second frame. I ended up with it was a 32 through 4. So like, it was okay. It was like about my average, about 8 per round. So I'm thinking, I'm like, all right, if I can get a 10 or 12 here, you know, I'm feeling pretty comfortable that we're going to win again, you know, getting you off to a good start. And I threw a fucking 3. Like, it was just so terrible. It was just such a shitty way to end it. So ending it with a 35 was terrible. But I think we're going on the last, like, regular season week. And then we go to, like, the playoffs based on the seedings. But I think we were tied for fourth. So,
hey, happy. I'll take it.
It's good. Listen, again, it's an excuse to go out once a week and throw some bags. So I'm happy with it. So
I'll be throwing mine this week, you know, on a nice deck out in Hocking Hills.
Ooh.
I'll show some scenery, you know.
That's right. You guys are heading out there. When do you head out? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah.
That's right. People, if you're listening, that's why you don't have kids. You still have a life.
just a week of adventure around the woods since we can't leave Ohio, apparently.
Apparently so. Okay, so going back to the ACL stuff from this past week, we already talked about Jamie Graham. I mean, hands down, number one player in the world right now, without a doubt.
Let's say hands down, number one in the world for the ACL.
Yeah, I mean, but that weekend before, I mean, he played against Matt Guy and beat him.
But you know, that's not a main stage Matt Guy.
That's true. Okay, so I mean, but I'm just saying, okay, if you want to put it that way, right? Yeah, sure. Yeah, we can put it that way. I thought there was another player this weekend that showed up, played phenomenally across the whole platform. Do you know who I was thinking of?
You know, I'm thinking his new nickname should be the Silent Assassin.
Ooh, you might be on the right one.
I'm gonna go with Senior Trey Birchfield.
Yeah, I mean was
Young Buck was throwing.
Dead man all weekend. Now he was I think he was probably like the runner up for the most success this weekend. He won a doubles title with Derek King. He took second in the Man of the Year contest. He tied third for singles. He's like a freaking robot, man. He's super consistent throwing.
Him losing was what I needed for me to win that set of bags against the Dogcast. So Trey, I love you. I know you're an Ohio boy, but I took Jamie. That gave me the win. Suck on it, Donnie. Continue.
Well, actually, changing topics a little bit, Dane did win our little draft thing against the Dogcast. And the reason you actually won, though, is because you were the only one with two females
in the semifinals. Yeah, so I got to give it to Yeti. She helped me out, too. And then Cheyenne Renner did what I expected Cheyenne Renner to do. So.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, just having that alone, that kind of solidified your win right there. And then Jamie Graham just put the icing on the cake, so it was pretty good.
Just hammered it home.
Absolutely. But Trey Birchfield, man, he's like a robot. He's throwing these slick side game changers, and the control and the finesse that he has for some, because he's a big dude. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's like a tall, lanky dude, and he's got such a high release now. And he's, I mean, it reminds me a little bit of Matthew Morton kind of gameplay.
A little bit, yeah. Where he doesn't throw it as high up the board as Morton, though.
No, but they both play that slick side game changer where they're trying to lay a block slick side down. And again, it's not that it's hard to push, but anyone that's played the game before, it's harder to push a bag because you know that bag that you're throwing could have a tendency to kick off than it is if you just leave the hole wide open. So I like the strategy. He threw airmails really well. He had a really rough game against Adam Hisner. I part of me thinks that like those two have so much history. You know what
they
I mean?
Do.
You know what I mean? He grew up playing around the same area as Adam, and
might have let his guard down a little bit.
Bit. Or maybe Adam said something to him, you know, or Adam knows exactly how to play Trey. You know what I mean? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Trey was just a little bit off that game, and against Adam was hungry and he wanted it. And hats off to Hisner. I mean, he played a really good game that game, but then he got educated in the finals, I think.
A little bit.
He went to the school of Jamie Graham, and Jamie Graham he flunked him. So I thought it was really cool seeing AJ Sims make a run all the way to the finals.
Heck yeah, I love watching AJ Sims throw in the final four.
Yeah, in the final four, man, he got a tough draw. He had to play Jamie Graham, but he played him tough. He was up for majority of the match, and then he just had one really bad round to end the game. And we've all been there. He had done that, but – really cool guy. I'm hoping to have him and a new ACL pro who just qualified, Caleb Batson. They're both from Texas. We're going to have them coming up on the show probably sometime after the baby's born when I know what my schedule is going to be like. So I just reached out and talked to him today. He said he's game. So we're going to set up to have both those guys on. But I just thought it was cool not seeing – like not that he's not like a household name, but he's not like – he wasn't like a top five rated player.
You know what I mean? So if you're not nice consistently watching like – If you're not like in the cornhole world, you're not gonna really know who AJ Sims is.
Correct.
If you're just following stuff on ESPN, but you know, you see Noah Wooten and Jamie Graham and you know Ryan Windsor all the time up there.
Yeah,
you know, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, but I thought it was very cool. So I always like when lesser known or lower ranked players make a deep run. So hats off to him. He threw really well. So and he had to come from the losers bracket. I can't remember exactly who he defeated. But he made a really nice run. So did you have any, like, I know I wrote down a few things, but like, did you have any, like, matches or big shots over the weekend that, like, you just remember and you're like, holy shit, like, that was just fantastic?
Well, in the World Doubles Championships, I know it, like, wasn't even a match to really, like, make a difference, but it was the Devin Harbaugh, Brandon Corwin match against Geary and MacGuffin.
Okay.
You know, just first off, I love watching Harbaugh and Corwin play. They're just both very animated, and
it's cool, they just can't sit still. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I feel like I want to get up and start moving. Like, I get so nervous watching them and stuff. But
yeah, and you know, they went down and then they battled it all the way back up to only be down by one, and you know, it was just one bag that, you know, stopped the comeback. But it was fun to watch them play. Well, fun to watch them feed off each other, especially Corwin. Like, he hits that first four bagger, it's like, good night. The dude just doesn't miss after that.
Yeah.
Like, he's fun one to watch. So, yeah, I mean, that was just fun to see those local-ish guys make that nice run and come back.
Yeah.
And, you know, almost make it on the championship, the final four there. But, you know, I just enjoyed watching that match.
Absolutely. One of the biggest shots of the weekend, I mean, besides Jamie Graham making everything look easy, was a match between Leslie McIver and Noah Wooten in a winner's bracket final in singles. Back-to-back rounds, Noah Wooten had McIver up against the wall, and McIver had to hit a airmail drag just to wash it to continue the game on. I thought the game was over. I thought there was no chance. I mean, the bag was kind of buried a little bit, but the guy hit a clutch shot, carried it on. I'm like, oh, you know, maybe that gives the guy a little momentum. And then what does he do? He comes back and drops 8 points on Noah Wooten and ends the game. Now, he didn't just end the game on a little slide shot. He had airmail drag it again, and he did it for the win. So, to me, those back-to-back shots, that was probably, like, my favorite, like, my favorite throws of the weekend, just because they were pressure-packed. He did it against a guy that, I mean, let's be serious. I mean, he was the underdog going into that one. He might not have thought that, but most people watching the match would have probably considered him an underdog. But I thought those were the two really, really clutch shots. I love seeing them.
Heck yeah.
Now, my favorite match I watched, mostly because I just thought that these guys can do things with a bag that, first of all, I'm never going to be able to do. And what they can do with a bag sometimes just seems just ridiculous and silly. Eric Davis versus Tony Smith in the pro qualifier. I don't know if you had a chance to catch it. I saw a live stream match of it. Holy roll bags. Okay.
Yeah.
Tony Smith ended up defeating Eric Davis. It was relatively close. I think it was like 21-14, 21-16, something like that. But these two guys, if this is the talent that is coming up in the ACL, holy shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's exciting to see, man. Like, now Eric Davis obviously is already very successful in the ACL. But Tony Smith, young gun from the Northeast, we've been hearing about him for a while. He's the real deal, man. I mean, he hits his roll shot that, I mean, it's really nice. He hit an airmail very consistently. He seemed like he had all the shots. It's a really nice release, flat bag. I was really super impressed. That was my favorite match to watch just because it didn't matter who had the first bag, they're throwing a blocker. I'm assuming it was Tony Smith's dad. I don't know for a fact, but who was commentating, and he's like, I don't even know why they're throwing a blocker. I mean, they're rolling over these bags like it didn't even matter. Like, there was no blocker there. And I was, like, watching, like, that's such a good point. I'm like, why the fuck are they even bothering?
That is,
I mean,
true. Yeah,
these guys are missing normal slide shots more so than they were these roll bags. I mean, just incredible how much accuracy these guys have. So I'm excited to see how those two do. Now, if Eric Davis decides to make the move to the ACL next season.
And that's the question, honestly, coming out of the weekend on everyone's mind is who that qualified is going to make that jump.
Now, let me ask you. So one of the things that people had brought up a few times and some people had sent us some messages about, 3 out of 4 of the advanced bracket winners, right? So for those of you that are relatively new to the game, there's the pro division and then there's advanced competitive. And then prior to last year, the pro players could play in the pro division and advanced. That is no longer the case. Pro players have to only play in the pro division. So advanced level, you're seeing some really fucking high-end people. I mean, the guys that could very well be pros as well.
Yeah.
But then there was a bunch of ACO guys that came over to the ACL event. ACO is the other major organization. And 3 out of the 4 brackets were won by ACO pros. Is that a big deal to you? Like, do you – I mean – is that like,
hey, you know what? I mean, I think everyone has the right to earn their way in, and I mean they had to play in just like everyone else. Now whether they make that jump or not, I guess we'll have to see. But you know, players.
No, I'm not talking about the pro qualifier. I'm just talking about just the advanced division.
Well, with ACO pros playing in it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I mean, advanced players are basically pros. Let's be honest.
An advanced player can beat any pro any day.
I mean. Listen, I don't see any problem with it.
That's, I mean, to me, the way I kind of look at it is, would if you put a gun to his head and ask him, who do you want to play? And that guy is going to say he wants to play the best competition every single time. But if he doesn't have that option, why can't he go play? There's no rules saying that he can't go play a cornhole tournament. And why not go and try to play and win some money? Yeah. I mean, that's what these guys are doing. I mean, that's what everybody does. It's the same thing. It's like if we have a local blind draw around here, and two of the big guns pair up and they try to come down and win all the money. I mean, there's no difference to me than that. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's the same exact thing. So I didn't have a problem with it. I could understand where some people were coming from. But at the same time, like, how cool of an experience would it be to say, like, yeah, I was playing advanced singles and my first match was against Matt Guy or Brett Guy or Tanner Halpert or Eric David. I mean, that'd be kind of cool to say. It would suck because chances are you're going to lose. But you can say you've done it and you had that opportunity to do it, where a lot of times you wouldn't have that chance.
It's all valid points. But, I mean, to me, I agree with you. It doesn't matter who shows up. I mean, it's advanced level. They're advanced level players, even though they don't have a pro tag. I mean, that's what all the pros are anyways.
Oh, absolutely. So,
now, do you feel like it did rob people possibly of the chance to make it into ACL that were all gung-ho about it?
I don't know. I mean, anytime you go to a tournament, you want to beat the best, right?
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like the ACL is just trying to fill their league with the best players out there. And these guys earn their way in, even though they're already, you know, well-known, established ACL pros. I mean, one of them is the GOAT of cornhole. To me, it's like, well, if now they have the opportunity to make the jump, the decision's theirs. And if they don't take it, the guys that didn't make it in can still make it in. They just have to, you know, don't they just like fill out an application and?
Now, mind you, now was there maybe a little hint of ACO trolling there? Maybe a little bit. I mean, I think it's kind of funny. I mean, that they could just go in and be like, "We're just gonna go ahead and win your advanced division, okay?"
Thing is like how. Like, who cares, though? Is it really trolling because they're just beating the advanced people? They're not even facing off against the ACL's, quote-unquote, best of the best.
No, that's what I'm saying. But, like, again, they're going to go up and be like, yeah, we're going to go beat up on the little guys for a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, sweet, good for them. It's like I've seen in ACO tournaments, you know, 14-year-old kids coming up and beating big names. So,
oh yeah, I know. I do not have an issue with it. It's a cornhole tournament. They weren't allowed to play in the pro division because of the ACL rules. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
they came to win some money and they did it. Them,
yeah, if they were able to participate in the ACL pro division, they would have done that.
Yeah.
So,
no, honestly, those three guys specifically, though, I think if they wanted to go to the ACL, all they had to do was pick up the phone.
I do also agree with that. Now, that's kind of transitioning into the next part. Will the top ACO pros actually leave? So Matt Guy, Brett Guy, and Eric Davis, most notably, all participated in the ACL pro qualifier. Now, again, if you're not familiar with it, the ACL on Sunday hosted a pro qualifier, and I think they had between 200 and 250 participants. And basically what they did was they had a rounders tournament. And a rounders tournament was everyone – it's a random draw, and you play. If you win your next round, you're playing against somebody else that's 1-0. And then if you win again, then your next game, you're playing against somebody else that's 2-0. So you keep going on. And they got it up to the point where if you reached 6 wins, that was enough to get you to be a pro. Eric Davis, Matt, and Brett Guy participated in this. And they finished in the top 34. So that means that they're automatically eligible to become ACL pros next year. Now, do you think that they're actually going to leave?
I mean, it's hard, man. There's ACO diehards. There's ACL diehards. And I think there's just one famous quote out there from Jerry Maguire, and it's, you know, show me the money.
Yeah.
I think they want to see where the money's at, and, you know, if this whole new bag thing really does bring us, like, seven-figure purse in the next 2 years or so, I think they would be dumb to not move.
I think it gives you the potential with these TV contracts to get better personal sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Knowing that you can go to a sponsor and be like, well, hey, like, I'm probably, you know, like Matt Guy, going to a guy, he's like, listen, I don't know if you know who I am, but I'm Matt Guy. I'm probably going to make ESPN at least once next year, and I'm going to rock your stuff. You know what I mean? And promote your product.
Like, I would just be like, I'm going to be, you know, the face of the ACL commercial that plays during all the cornhole things.
And when we had interviewed Matt and Brett, we had kind of touched on this, and they were very open, right? And they said that they were 50-50 on whether or not they were going to make the change. I just think that for them specifically, there's a whole group of people who are just getting exposed to the sport strictly because the ACL is on ESPN, that they have no idea who Matt and Brett Guy are. You know, they don't know how good a player is like Eric Davis. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't think that you can fault them. If you're a true ACO guy, I don't think you can really fault them for wanting to go to the ACL route. I mean, I get it. I mean, how can arguably the best cornhole player of all time not get any recognition? I mean, there's some people that he could be walking down the street to guys that know cornhole, but they've only seen that on ESPN. They have no idea who he is. And I think that's a crime.
Yeah. And I say, like, I know this is like looking ahead a little bit, but you know, we also got the USA cornhole. If that takes off and they start doing like international tournaments, I'm pretty sure they're going to want to pull from the pool of guys that have been on ESPN and maybe not the guys that people might not know.
Yeah, probably.
Just to bring in, you know, viewership.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they have until the end of the month to know.
Yeah, it was like August, like 28th or something like that.
Somewhere around there. It's going to be, I know, obviously you're going to see rumors popping up and all this stuff. I'm going to try to my best to ask them, you know what I mean? If they want to come on the show and let everybody know what's going on.
Hey, yeah, if they want to make their announcement on here, by all means, you have a platform.
And we've always told them that. But obviously, they're crazy successful. They're going to be fine. Whether they stay ACO or go ACL, that's fine. I think for a guy like Eric Davis, who is so crazy talented, I think it's a smart move to kind of jump maybe and go to ACL.
I mean, and with his youth, too, it only plays into – because, honestly, you look at the ACL right now, there are so many phenomenal young kids coming up in the sport. Why not be one of those household names that's going to be around for the next possibly 15 years?
Absolutely. So do you think
more question for you.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
So, like, you know, we're talking about this whole, like, ACO, ACL thing. I want to switch it over to the women's.
Okay.
With specifically, I mean, we know Megan Maupin, you know, she's with Blackjack Cornhole, Troy Hauser. I mean, Megan comes in and does her work every time in the ACL.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the ACL is going to make that move where they're going to start forcing the ladies to get a pro tag too in order to play in their tournaments?
No, because they don't separate. They separate women's and then pro. So, like, Christine Papke is an ACL pro. So that's why Megan Maupin wasn't eligible to play in like the Women of the Year contest because it was only pros. I don't think so, because I don't think that they want to have a men's pro division and a women's pro division. Maybe eventually down the road they want to, but as of right now, there's not enough women pro support like a women's only pro division. So I don't think that's coming anytime soon. That could always change in the future, but I don't think that's going to come anytime soon.
No, I'm glad you threw that out, because like that's how I feel about it. Like, to me, it doesn't matter. I don't care that Maupin comes in and, you know, does her thing. I mean, there's a couple of them this weekend from ACO that came in and did very well in the women's league. So, but, you know, like, to me, it just makes that women's bracket just deeper. There's so much talent in there now. And it's like, I mean, it's a crapshoot on who wins it. So I just wanted your two cents on it, because I heard, you know, some people talking about it on Facebook and whatnot, like asking how she was able to play in it. And, you know, we all know very well that there's just not
the women's, to be honest with you, pros. I kind of miss when like the advanced division in the ACL was like a Wild West You know what I mean? Where pros could go, basically anyone. You think you're really good at cornhole?
You know, that's why you have that's why you have conference.
That's why you have conference tournaments. That's true.
That's how I feel about it.
I'm just saying, like, it was an opportunity to see the best of the best. Like, when you knew that they had to change it when Tanner Helper came over from the ACO and then won the advanced singles. I mean, they just had to do that. They couldn't have an ACO guy on top anymore. So,
I'm pretty sure that's why that changed happened so quickly.
Absolutely. Might as well call it the helper rule.
Yeah.
So, do you think that the ACL will have pro qualifiers every year? Do you think they should?
I guess it depends on how much the sport rises, like how fast it grows. Because to me, like, yeah, you brought in that many names this year, but I don't think you're going to be able to, like, legitimately uphold, like, allowing 30 plus new players in every single year.
All right, Dean,
let's just do the math. I mean, let's say you're Stacy Moore,
and you have a pool of, like, let's say 250 pro players, right? Every year, how many do you think would be fair to automatically, based on rankings, keep? Like, just they're safe.
So I think the top 200, if you have 250, the top 200 are automatically safe. And then those last 50 spots are all up for grabs. And I say do a massive tournament, a pro qualifier tournament, where those bottom 50 are the top seeded people and make them earn it back. That way you can get, you know, someone out of the woodwork coming up and winning, you know, five straight games and taking someone out that, you know, maybe wasn't very consistent. Because that's the worst thing in the world when you're on ESPN and you watch someone play and they lose and have a shit game.
Like
that is the worst thing to watch. And not even saying, like, because we all know it happens to all of us. Yeah. Like, I don't care who you are. But, like, that is the worst TV time that they could be thrown out there, because nobody wants to see an epic blowout that's, like, 5 minutes long and three rounds down and back.
Right. I don't know. I mean, 200, I was thinking even, like, maybe the top 100, 150 are safe. And then
you just gave me an arbitrary number of 250. I don't think there's ever going to be 250 pros. I would say that's what they're getting up to. But I'm saying, like, I feel like it's going to be like 200 safe, and then you got to let other people play in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like it would be a cool way to have people, like, make people want it a little bit more. You know what I mean? Now, mind you, if you limit it to like the top 100, it does take away from some of those individuals that, like, maybe they don't have the opportunity to go to, like, every single conference event, or maybe they miss one of, like, those pro invitational kind of things that hurts you. I mean, bringing that point up right now, I posted something on Facebook the other day. Malone and McClem are not team of the year in doubles somehow. Okay. And it's because apparently either they didn't participate or they had a lower showing at one of those pro qualifiers. I don't, like, that's not the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like,
and I'm sorry, but those pro qualifiers,
the two national championships that they had before Worlds, they won. Like, two.
Yeah.
And they won.
And the pro qualifiers, like, to me, those aren't, like, it wasn't quite cornhole yet.
I'm not taking anything away from Geary McGuffin. Phenomenal players. They had a great season. But your pro, like, your doubles team of the year didn't even win a national.
Yeah.
That shouldn't happen.
That's kind of messed up, yeah.
That shouldn't happen. There's got to be more of a premium for winning the national championship, in my mind. I mean, now, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe the points there are, and Malone and McClem, just they didn't participate enough. But, like, they won two nationals. It shouldn't even have been close, in my mind, in the points race. Because there's really only three national events. There was the two nationals that they won, and then there were Worlds. I mean, they won two out of three. I mean, last time I did math, it's more than 50%.
Yeah, that is.
Right? I mean, last time I checked. But I don't know. I just thought it was odd when I saw all the points, how they were broken down. And I'm like, well, no shit. So if McClem loses, if Malone and McClem lose, and Geary McGuffin win, then they're going to be fucking team of the year regardless of what happens.
Yeah.
It was very, very weird.
To me, it's kind of the equivalent of like Jacob deGrom winning the Cy Young at 10-9 for the Mets. It's like, yeah, he had a great ERA, sweet, but, like, you still weren't able to get your team wins.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. I just I don't know. I felt bad for them. I thought that they showed up at the two national champions. If I had a vote, it's probably how it would have been. I guess, I mean, if you're trying to do it completely objectively, you have to do it based off points. But maybe you do it, I don't know, maybe you change the ranking system. Maybe you have a player's vote and you have a point system. You know what I mean? So like, there's maybe like a weighted score.
I actually really like the player's vote thing.
I just feel like it would give them a little bit more and weighted. You know what I mean? Like, still have finishes. That way it's not just a popularity contest. But yeah, have it weighted a little bit. You know what I mean? And just come up with a score. You know, some like the BCS formula used to be, you know, for college football and everything. Mm-hmm. I just thought that something like that, maybe that's the answer to avoid another situation like this.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Awesome. Well, you want to switch gears?
Is it time?
I think it's bag review.
Is it?
It is. It's let's review some bags.
You feel it. It feels like a bag of sand.
Heck yeah.
All right, so we're going to be reviewing four sets of bags total, all right? The first three sets of bags we're going to review are Cooper bags. Now, Cooper, I'm going to be completely honest. When I kept hearing about Cooper bags, right, and, you know, addicted to cornhole, someone would be like, hey, what are some really good bags I haven't heard of, blah, 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 blah. And people kept writing, I love Cooper Express, or I love Cooper this. I had thrown copper cornhole before, like Scorpion, stuff like that. And I kept thinking, I'm like, these idiots are spelling it wrong. I'm like, what? Cooper? I'm like, it's not that hard. Like, spell check. And then I started doing a little bit more research, and then I saw a picture of one of them, and I'm like, and it sure as shit, it said Cooper on it. I'm like, oh, okay, well, now I'm an idiot. I feel like an asshole for thinking that. So they sent us out three sets of bags. Which one do you want to start with, Dane?
You want to let it just rip with the SOB3?
You want to do it that way? That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to start with it?
Sure, yeah.
Roll it.
All right, so they're Cooper bags, SOB3. Disclaimer for these bags, we always talk about like the sweet artwork and whatnot. These are just good quality bags. So yes. I don't know if they do custom print and stuff, but very well made bags, and not the flashiest, but they're good.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll get right back to it with the SOB3. This thing's like, it's your basic stick slick, but with it's got the reverse suede on the one side. And then a really nice, fast, slinky material on the other side. But, I mean, it cooks, man. It's a fast side. I mean, so we know and love that reverse suede, so I'm going to stick it right there, like four or five. And then that fast side is definitely a 9 or a 10. Like, it's hard to stop, even on tacky boards. But, dude, this bag right out of the box, ready to throw. And we both love reverse suede. He's got a good material on it. But dude, it's that other side that just changes this bag because it is so slinky. That fast material is so forgiving that, man, this, like, right out of the box, I was just, this thing was doing wraparound shots with reverse suede, which blew my mind.
Yeah.
So, I mean, go ahead and take off after that. But, yeah, I was a fan.
So, of all the Cooper bags, I thought this was the most ready out of the box to throw. Like, it just felt very natural, ready to play. If I had to compare it to a bag, I think it's very comparable to the Blackjack Spade.
Yes.
Now, the fast side material is different. But if you've thrown a Spade series bag before, you'll know that once it breaks down, it's very hole-forgiving. That's kind of what this bag reminds me of, only the fill in this one's a little bit different. This has got like a little bit of a medium fill. So if like, it's not super, super slinky, but it's not overly full, but it still will melt in the hole. It's kind of like that in between. So if you're going with like flop factor, right? Floppy and how loose the bag is. 0 is like really thick and stiff. 10 is completely floppy. I'm probably putting this like a 5 or a 6 right off the bat.
Oh, for flop?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd give it right out of the box. I'd give it closer to a 7. I mean, that thing it's floppy.
I really like this. I like the template of this bag. It has the rounded corners. Like I said, medium fill. I just felt like this is the bag when I picked it when I first grabbed it out of the box. I'm like, oh shit, I can go play in a tournament with this right away. It's nothing. It doesn't look flashy. And like you said, I don't know if they do custom printing or not, but it's just a really well-made bag. Like, this is a bag that, like, I feel like I'm going to have for years, and, like, nothing's going to happen to it. Like, it's not going to break open. Like, you could tell somebody took time on this bag and, like, and perfected it. Like, the seam is beautiful. The corners are all perfect.
They, like, triple-stitched the edges of, like,
this is what I'm saying.
The closing seam.
Really,
like, I mean, it's it's nice.
And I freaking love how this bag played. I threw it very, very well. You know it's a great bag, right? Went down and back. I four-bagged it and then threw back a 10. I'm like, well, I love it. You know what I mean? Like, I just like,
especially when Sean does it. I mean, that's,
absolutely.
That's pretty impressive.
Absolutely. So that was the SOB3. I really like this bag. Like Dane said, the slow side's like a 4 or 5 paired with a very forgiving fast side that's like a 9 or 10. I would highly, highly recommend this bag. Really good. And we'll go over at the very end of how you guys can reach out and try to find these bags. But really good job. Really like this bag.
Yeah. All right, next up.
All right, now the next bag is the Express. Now, this bag apparently has two different templates. They have more of a boxy style. Corners, and then they also do have like a rounded corner template. We got the very squared off version, all right? So very boxy. Okay, so it's extreme. The pointed corners actually make this bag like it looks like a very big bag, all right?
It does.
But the nice thing with these wider corners, all right, with it being a big square, it seemed to grab the hole very well. Now, with this being Express, obviously it's a faster bag. The slow side, what would you say, like 6-7-ish?
Yeah, I'd put it right around there.
And the fast side was 8 or 9. It wasn't quite as fast as the SOB3, but it's close. It's right up there.
It's close, yeah.
But this is by far, out of all three of the bags, this is the loosest bag. All right, you can tell this is kind of like a go-go bag that's just like that big floppy bag that you're looking for. Something similar to like an all slide that once it breaks down, maybe a little bit faster than an all slide.
A little bit, yeah, because I was actually warming up with all slides before I threw that. And these were a little bit faster.
Yeah, so a little bit faster than an all slide, a little bit slower than a Viper, somewhere in that speed range right there. But similar floppiness, similar fill amount in the bag. It's definitely it's different throwing a bag with such extreme corners on it again, where most bags now are.
Yes.
I don't know. It was different. I liked it, though.
Oh, dude, I mean, honestly, you talked about the corners. I love the corners on it. Like,
you always did, though. Corners, you always did.
I know. I always like squared off bags. You know why? Because I feel like a squared off bag, it's much easier to hit a push shot with. Because if you like sometimes when you have that rounded corner and you try to grab it to like slide it in, it just kind of spins. But this will literally like lock in and slink into the hole. And you said it as well. You put a corner of this bag over the hole as you throw it. Well, since it has four really pointy corners, the chances of it going in, I feel like, are far greater.
Okay.
And like the slower side, very controllable. Mm-hmm. And even the fast side, it doesn't look like it'd be controllable. And then you start throwing it and you're like, okay, it's really not as fast as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, the fast side does need a little bit of time to break down. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a loose bag, but I think it's just because of the lack of fill that's in the bag compared to the other ones. But you can just still feel it needs some time to break down a little bit. I'd be interested to see what happens to the speed bag if it actually gets a little bit faster, the more it breaks down.
It might. I mean, that's a rare thing to see in bags, but we've seen it happen.
Sometimes. Okay, so the last bag of the Cooper bags we have was the Bandit.
Yes.
Now, the Bandit is the fullest of the three bags by far, okay? It has the same slow side as the Express bag very slightly slower fast side. They're very
honestly, I didn't feel like there wasn't much of a difference speed-wise between the two sides.
I did speed test them on the boards, right? Now, I'm almost wondering, is it because of the amount of fill and the template? That's why one was playing a little bit faster than the other, because the Bandit is just, it's a chunkier bag. Like it's got a little ass to it. Whereas the Express is like the skinny popular girl in school. The Bandit's like complete opposite. Like it's got some girth to it. It's like the offensive lineman, you know, at the lunch table kind of thing.
Hey, they can still be sexy too, man.
Well, no, I'm not saying they're not sexy. I liked it. I liked the speed of the bags. I'm just saying if you like a fuller bag, but you want something that's like an all slide like speed, the band is going to be more of your style than the Express, only because the Express gets very, very loose and floppy, whereas the band is just the opposite. It's just a thicker bag.
Yeah. And, you know, looking at this Bandit, the quote-unquote faster side, it would not surprise mm-hmm. me at all if this actually does slow down mm-hmm. over time, because it has that kind of, like, material that pills.
Yeah.
And, like, mm-hmm. can start really peeling up, which I think if it does do that and start slowing down, I think you would have a legitimate, like, medium-fast bag on both sides. And it would be fun to throw. I mean, it's fun to throw
although
now.
It's similar in speed to the Express, we said before, it's a fuller bag, but it's also a smaller bag, too.
Yes.
Like, with the edges rounded in, it definitely makes it much smaller of a bag. So it's just, again, something to consider when you're, you know, just saying, hey, which Cooper bag do I want to try? Express and Bandit, very similar, too, but what do you like? Do you like you want a little bit of a bigger, floppy, loose bag, or do you want something that's a little bit more full with those rounded edges?
I'd be interested to see the Express bag, like, with the rounded edges. Just to see if that, like, really chunks it up more, too.
Correct. Yeah.
Because, I mean, that could have something to do with it as well. But
it could.
I mean, all in all, though, I mean, dude, bomb bags. I was a fan of all three.
You know, and it's rare that when somebody sends us three sets that we like all three sets.
Yeah, for sure. And all three of them were legit.
I really did, and I had zero expectations with these bags, because I've never seen them around here before. I had heard good things about them, but I had no idea. And when they sent them over to us, we had zero information. So I reached out to the guy after I started throwing them, and all I said was SOB3, and I just put a heart, and I sent it over to him. And he's like, "Oh, you picked our most popular bag." And I'm like, "Well, okay, good. Well, we're off to a good start." And I just started asking him some questions. All three bags are really good. If I had to pick one for myself that I'm going to go to, it's going to be the SOB3. I just like the slower side, and then having the extreme fast side, I just felt like it was the most versatile. But if you're a guy that likes that medium control speed bag, he's got options for you. And that's what I think is very smart as a bag maker. It's when you have a wide variety of options with just subtle changes that make the world a difference when you're throwing the bags.
And nothing like overtly fast either. Besides the fast side of the SOB, but that makes that bag, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
But, you know, like when you told me about Cooper bags, and I had seen the same stuff pop up on Facebook and Addicted to Cornhole and stuff. And, you know, then I started looking into them, and, you know, I saw that it was Cooper Woodworks Plus.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, so we got a carpenter out here making bags, but it's the plus that matters. Maybe, I mean, he needs to stick with the plus. I haven't seen his woodwork, but he's pumping out some good bags, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good stuff. So if you're interested and you want to try a set, check out Cooper Woodworks Plus. Sorry, it's all one word, on Facebook, and shoot them a message. Let them know that you listen to the show. If you have any questions, they'll get back to you. So again, we reviewed the SOB3, the Express, and the Bandit. I really do like them all. Again, they're not the flashiest bag, but if you want a bag that's going to perform, I mean, definitely, these are worth definitely trying out, especially if you're just, you love trying out different things and you're still that in between and, hey, I'm a new player, I don't know what to go. Try out one of these. I'm telling you, you're not going to go wrong with any of these.
With any of the three, but also, like, reverse suede is quickly becoming my favorite material, and I honestly think it's going to start catching on quick. So hop on that bandwagon. Grab that SOB3.
Okay, so we have one more bag to review.
Yes, we do.
This is a bag that I was just scrolling through Facebook.
One
just
of the
innocently
most
enough.
Bitchin' designs on a bag.
Dude, and that's all it was. I saw the picture of the bag, and I didn't give a shit what it was made out of. I'm like, this bag looks fucking badass, and it is the War Chief, and it's made by TC Boards. And I just reached out to the guy. I'm like, hey, you know, we do bag reviews. Like, yeah, I've listened to your show before. He's like, sure, I'll send you out a set. We have not talked about this bag yet, okay?
Yes.
I want to talk about it first, but then I want to hear what your opinions are first.
I mean, do you want me to go first? That's fine.
Yeah, go. You tell me what you think.
Okay, so it is a if the material felt very familiar on the one side, the slow side. I think it's a popular one that's starting to pop up around. It moved a little better than that material on some of the other bags we felt. Most namely, like it's the feel of it's very similar to like the Tsunami from Big Daddy.
It's similar, but it's way, way, way slower.
So that. That's what I was gonna say. Like, so when you touch them though, it feels very similar.
It's got almost kind of like that rubberized type. It's hard to explain.
I want to challenge you though to throw that Big Daddy now that it's human, because when we were throwing it before, it wasn't as human.
Did you?
Okay.
I did. When I was trying it, because I wanted to see it. Because you're right. I mean, when I first picked it up out of the box, I'm like, oh, I know this material. And then I threw it the first time, like, well, goddamn. Okay, that didn't act like how I thought it was going to. So I actually threw this exclusively the other day with the Tsunami. It plays completely different. Way different than the Tsunami.
So I didn't have the Tsunami to go off. I was just going based off feel, but...
Okay.
I mean, I was a huge fan of that War Chief. The biggest plus for me in that bag was the fill. The fill was very similar to one bag, and I was hoping that you know which bag that I'm talking about, with a very unique fill as well. And I felt like they're very similar in the hand.
It's not. I mean, it's very fine. It's a very fine fill. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm kind of thinking it might be like the Saber bags. They have similar fill. Boss, it is very similar. I mean, what was the other bag that we just reviewed recently too that had a very fine fill? Oh, it was it BG last when we did the BG review? Similar, but it is a very, very fine fill. Very fine fill. So let me talk about this bag here. Let me talk about this bag. So the slow side, all right? It's suede-esque, okay, but not in how it feels, but in the way it plays. It kind of plays in between a suede and a reverse suede speed, all right? So when you first get this, the slow side is like a 3 out of 10, okay? Yeah. Now, I talked to Cody, the guy who makes the bags, and I was just – he wanted to know my opinion, so I wrote out this review, right? I'm going to say right now, I fucking love this bag. It was a really nice bag. I liked it. I told him that. And he's like, he's like, when you first get it, it's slow. He's like, but as you play with it more, he's like, that 3 out of 10 is going to be more of like a 4 to 5 out of 10. Right. So it's going to speed up just a little bit. He's like, once you get that, I don't know, like it is almost like this rubberized type feel on it a little bit.
Yeah.
Once it wears down a plasticky type feel, once that wears off a little bit, it does speed up a little bit more. So it's like a 3 out of 10 on the slow side, but with a very controllable fast side. So the fast side, I'm saying like a 7 or an 8 out of 10. I really like it. I really like the, you stole the words right out of my mouth. I love the feel of this bag. I love the shape of the bag. I love the size of the bag. Didn't hurt that I threw it really well.
never does.
I like pairing a slow bag with a controllable fast side, because I still feel like I can put a little ass behind the fast side, which without like completely cooking it over off the back end, when I know that if it hits something, it's going to slow it down.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're talking about just looking at the bag, I mean, this mean looking War Chief logo is just freaking nasty.
It is nasty.
It's the thing. I mean, it just caught my eye. This bag can move. You can hit all the angled shots. I really, really, really like this bag. I thought it was really well done. I thought it was very, very well made. Again, the seam is very nice. It's got a unique color to it. It's like this tannish type bag. It's something that you're not going to see out there right now. And again, I like unique. We typically like unique stuff. You're not going to find another bag that's completely like this, and I love that.
Ditto. I fully agree.
now, I like it now. It took a little bit of time to break in.
We've had the bag for a little bit of time, too.
We have. And I throw it. Every time I'm out there, I throw it a little bit. So it takes a little bit of time to break in. But I tell you, once we have it now, I mean, I'm holding it now. I mean, this thing flops all around.
Yeah.
It's very, very nice. I'll be interested as I continue to throw it, because I do like it. How much it's going to speed up on the fast side. Because I think if it can get up to like a 4 or 5 on that slow side, I think it's going to be really, really nice. Really, really nice. But if you're interested in checking out a set, go to TC Boards on Facebook. Again, that's TC Boards on Facebook. Shoot them a message. Ask questions about the bags. But yeah, hats off. I really like this bag. The logo looks freaking sweet. It's this like Indian skull on it. Loved it. So again, it's called the War Chief by TC Bags. Check them out on Facebook.
Heck yeah. Hey, Sean, do you hear that off in the distance? Do you hear it?
I don't.
Do you hear it off in the distance? Shameless plug time, bro.
We're having a rap horn battle here. Big thank you to Airwolf. Big thank you to Airwolf Athletics. Check out Airwolf Athletics for all your awesome cornhole swag, and use code BIGASP to save yourself some money.
And we wanted to give a big shout out.
Yeah, please.
To Cleveland local player Kevin Allen. He qualified to become an ACL pro, and then also Jacob Beamer that we know as well. He usually pairs up with Jeff Reynolds when they were throwing bags at our conference and stuff. I kind of assumed he was the next one up out here if the kid is lights out.
Do you remember we faced him at his first regional tournament here?
Yeah.
It was like our second round game and competitive. We almost beat him. We almost beat him. Lights out. And I just remember, I'm like, this kid just doesn't miss ever. I'm like, what is this kid?
I was like, what the hell are you doing down here in competitive? Get out of here.
Yeah, correct.
But, you know, and to everyone that tried to make it and didn't, like, way to shoot your shot. There's still a chance, and you can still apply to get in. And if not, then you got something to work for this year. I mean,
absolutely. I wanted to shout out Quentin Robinson and Tony Rinaldi. They took third in their bracket in competitive. Quentin took second overall in competitive singles. They took second in competitive crew cup. They had a really nice weekend. So hats off to you guys. I love throwing against you guys. You guys are two of my favorite guys. So congratulations. It's awesome. I don't even know if you listen to the podcast. I hope you do. So if you do, let's check. Well,
all I'm saying is Tony better bring it when we're out in Iowa.
We'll see.
Because I sure will. I'm going to be too hammered. So he's going to have to carry me.
All right. So next week, we're going to be bringing you the next part of the Beginner's Guide series, where we're going to focus on game strategy and preparing for live events. And
so, Sean, we should probably listen to that episode, though, because our game strategy sucks.
My strategy is flawless. If you would just listen to me and execute, we would have zero problems. All right. I think that's it.
I think we're ready to wrap it up, man. Short and sweet this week.
Yep. So, I guess we're all on pins and needles waiting to find out what all those ACO guys are going to do and
we'll try to do our research and see if we can leak some stuff.
Absolutely. Do his home stretch here. Baby Asp number two is gonna be here, and you know, could be here any minute. So
she better not have him down. I'm gonna be pissed if I gotta turn around and come home this week.
I'm telling you don't come home. We have to quarantine after that anyway, so stay down there. Have fun.
Just FaceTime me, all right?
Oh yeah, I'll FaceTime you. It'll be fine.
I'll have a beer for the baby.
Absolutely. And by the way, last week, if you listened to the episode and you've already made it all the way through here, thank you very much for listening this long. If you want to find us, reach us out on Facebook at Big Ass Cornhole Podcast, on Instagram and Twitter at Big Ass Cornhole. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We greatly appreciate it. I'm really sorry about the quality of our audio last week. We were trying something a little different.
It was my first time editing.
It wasn't you. It wasn't you. We tried something different.
We had to be apart.
Yeah, it didn't work out. This week is going to work out much better. Fingers crossed. If not, then we'll have to get together tomorrow and try to do it again.
Personally, I thought I sounded great last week.
You did. The problem was, and I got so much feedback. It was like, your brother sounded really clear, and I would turn it up to hear you, and then your brother was blowing out my speakers. I'm like, well, yeah.
That's just my booming vocal. I'm sorry.
Your angelic voice. Yes, that's what it is.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Something like that. All right, so as always, we hope you throw it straight. It's nothing but four baggers from here on out.
Cornhole it.
Later.